Hey there, Mama. Welcome back to another episode of the Working Mama podcast. I have an absolutely amazing guest on today. Yes, it's Olympian Brooke Hansen. She has had a really interesting journey as a mum. She, as she puts it, has four children, but then three earthside. So I will have a trigger warning that this episode does talk about death and, you know, infant death as well. So it can be quite triggering if you have experienced that, or even with miscarriage and things like that. But I have to say, if you've been through that, she's also got a very uplifting and positive attitude towards it all, from reaching rock bottom. But I have to say, I walked away from this episode and this conversation feeling so inspired, so motivated. And one thing that's also really rung true with me today is about not using the term I'm busy, and you'll understand more when we get to it. So it's an absolutely amazing chat. As always, if you'd be able to leave a rating or review or share this episode with other fellow working mums, particularly those that are just returning back into work after maternity leave. And there is also the Working Mama Village membership that is available to you. And it's here with resources, community, and support to help you navigate the juggle and thrive as a working mum. So let's get into today's amazing and uplifting episode. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling. Welcome, Brooke. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast. How's your day going so far?
Yeah, it's going. It's going. I feel like sometimes it's rinse and repeat, similar to my Olympic swimming days. But if I'm up early and I get a kickstart on the day, I feel like everything else just falls into place.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I know about you because I remember watching your journey in swimming from afar, and I have to say, slightly starstruck right this moment. But for those people that don't know you or even your background, because you have certainly had a journey, and I look forward to speaking more about that today. But if people don't know you, do you want to just give a little bit of your background and your journey?
Yeah, for me, my name is Brooke Hansen. I'm an Olympic swimmer. I'm a healthy, active mum. I studied journalism. I've worked in television, radio, and now I run my own business, empowering people to believe in their dreams and really inspire people to never give up. When I tell someone about my day job, I said, how long's a piece of string? Because I guess, run my own business for 20 years now. So that is, it could be from speaking to school kids all the way up to helping CEOs deal with energy management. But I think most of all, when I sort of just take a step back from my business and from what I achieved at Olympic and world swimming level, that I would say that my number one job as a working mum is to put the family and my kids first. And I think that's the most important thing, that I just love being a mum and I love being a role model and showing my kids that you can work and raise a family and still have lots of fun along the way.
Yeah, they must love to hear your endeavors of before you became a mum, and then obviously now they're probably like, but you're just mum. Like, who is this other person?
It's hilarious actually, because now they've really loved having their little Google Homes in their, you know, in their bedrooms and listening to sounds at night to get them to sleep. And then one of them's like, hey, I asked Google about you and what you do and what you've been up to. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, what were you told? And so that's interesting, sort of just navigating that, but then also just allowing them to be their best selves and, you know, just constantly, as we do as parents, just constantly telling them to back yourself and believe in yourself and, you know, lead with kindness and positivity and find something that you love, especially when it comes to being healthy and being active and with all of the sports. And we always thought, you know, I married a swimmer and we just didn't want the pressure on our own kids to go, oh gosh, mum's an Olympic champion. She won gold and silver in breaststroke and, you know, swam at the World Championships and the Commonwealth Games and the Pan Pacs. And I just didn't want them to feel pressured to have to do any of that or to follow in my footsteps. It's just, for me, it's just so important that they have that, I guess, that daily connection between health and fitness. And my husband and I are still just great role models in that of we're doing it for ourselves. And we do that to be better human beings, better parents, better role models to people in the communities. But I said that most importantly, I do this for me. I do it because it makes me feel like a better person. I exercise every day for my own mental health and well-being. And I guess I want to lead and succeed every single day as a mum first and foremost, and then sort of it all sort of expands from there. So I still find it so important just to make sure that I'm leading with that positivity every day for my family and for the kids.
Oh, that's so inspiring. And so how many kids do you have?
When I talk about my kids, I say I have four. I have four beautiful, beautiful children, and I have three with me, and I have my angel Jack that looks over us. And I think that's been a really important way after being, I guess, one of the mums or parents in a special club of parents who have lost. That has been a really great way to deal with my ongoing grief and then still also recognize that Jack was and always will be part of my journey as a mum. So that is a question I get asked every day, and one that, I never thought that I'd get asked, that many times. I'll help, how many kids have you got? And it took me a while just to go, well, how do I honor Jack in that moment as well? And so now that's a great response from me of I have four children. I've got three with me. And in 2024, that is Cooper, who is 14, Billy, who is 10, Billy's a boy, and Matilda, a girl. So after three boys, I had a girl, and Matilda is about to turn 9. And I really felt like after having three boys that she was a gift from Jack. So Jack was number two in my four. And unfortunately, he lived for 9 months in intensive care and sadly passed away in the NICU. So never came home. But for us as a family, it's just so important to recognize him, one, as a mum, and obviously as parents with alongside Jared as well. But we make sure that Jack's part of our life every single day. And I think we have these really special moments throughout the week and throughout the year that we recognize that, he's continuing to inspire us to live every day like it's our last, because none of us know.
No, and it's so true. I've actually had a good friend of mine also go through, she experienced loss and her daughter was only 16 months old when she unfortunately passed away. She died of SMA, and it's one of those things that you makes you really appreciate life, but also you never stop grieving. And, every year on her birthday, she recognizes how old she would have been. And, it's one of those things, just because they're not here physically with you earthside, you know that in some special way they've always been with you. You never get over the grief. I had a pregnancy termination for medical reasons, and it's one of those things as well. People say to me, how many, I've been pregnant four times and I've got two earthsides. So it's one of those things you can never, it's a hard way of actually articulating it for people, but it's so good that you recognize Jack in the way that you do.
And it took me a while just to, how am I going to have that conversation with, with strangers and just with other mums. It just became really like a schoolyard sort of conversation of, how many kids have you got? And it's difficult. And sometimes it can make the person who's listening feel a bit uncomfortable. Mm. But I think it's most importantly that I'm putting myself first in that, in that scenario and not just saying, I've got three kids. And then I'd walk away from that conversation and go, well, I feel a bit flat about that. So took me a while, and I get a bit teary thinking about it, because I really felt like I wanted to be strong and powerful enough to say that at the beginning, but I wasn't. But then once I got there, I was like, I just felt like the weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I was just like, yes, I can recognize Jack in this moment, and the kids can talk about him if they want to talk about him. We have candle night on a Sunday night where none of us are on devices. There's no iPads, there's no Xbox, there's no phones. If you want to play guitar or ukulele, or if we want to put some tunes on, we can. But we just have a conversation of like, how's your week? What's coming up this week? If we want to play some cards, we can. But it's just a moment where we just feel grateful for each other. And then it's just really like a check-in, because you just realize how quickly it is just to switch on the television and and watch something, or just for everyone to sort of go to their own parts of the house and hop on a device. It's like, oh no, let's use Sunday night for us. So that's been important. And then we also find when we go away camping every school holidays that we look up to the brightest star and we find it. And everyone says there's baby Jack and he's looking over us. And I think that's important for our family. And like you mentioned, we had his 10th birthday when he would have turned 10. We celebrated that with our close family who supported us through Jack's journey. And then when we lost him as well, and we'll do that. We celebrate him the double digits, and we'll do that again for, you know, his 18th, his 21st, and those major milestones are so important.
Yeah. And he's obviously shaping who you are. Even to this day, it's amazing the influence that they have. And I've seen that firsthand as well with my friend. But it's not until I think you've experienced, you understand it. As you said, it's a very special community that, and once you've seen it, it's not really they're gone and they're forgotten. They're gone and they continue to inspire and I guess enrich your lives, as what you're saying, every single day and living your best life possible. Because you're so right. You never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, I think that's the most powerful thing with myself. And I just found at that time after he passed away, I said to my husband, like, how can we ever go on, and how can we find happiness again, and how can we ever smile again? And unfortunately, Jared lost his mum at the age of 16, and he said to me, Brooke, like, our hearts are so heavy right now. And I'd wake up every morning crying, and you'd cry yourself to sleep at night. And he goes, that pain in your chest and the heaviness, it will lift, but you'll carry that scar for the rest of your life. And you want that scar to be really an honor for Jack and part of his legacy. And that's been something for me that is, I guess it's been a powerful tool of connecting with members of the community all the way up to my speaking engagements now, giving back to charities like Starlight Children's Foundation and Lifestyle Treasures Foundation, and then just really being able to share my story. Because, you know, I hop up on stage and it's like, oh, Olympic champion, you know, swimmer, like what she ever had to go through. And it's like, oh, well, do you know what? I've been through a lot, and I'm sure every single person in the audience has their own personal journey. And a lot of people afterwards, if I share, or when I share my loss of Jack, they'll come up and say, we're part of a special club. And I talk about a special club. Of course, I'm part of a very special club of Olympic gold and silver medalists, but I like to call it a special club of parents who have lost. And when someone comes up afterwards and says, I'm part of your club, and they give me a big hug, and you just don't realize until you share that others feel empowered to come forward. And then before you know it, there's group hugs and there's connection and collaboration and talking about grief. And I think that's really powerful, and it's important. Really, yeah. Important, especially that, for mum.
100%. That community is so important, knowing that you're not alone and really going through it. So just stepping back a bit, you didn't have a smooth journey in your swimming career. You certainly had a few hurdles along the way. What did some of those hurdles, you know, teach you about resilience and that empowerment and probably that mindset that no doubt prepared you for mum life, but also probably some elements as well? You've had some pretty rock bottom moments in your swimming career, but then did that help you at all in preparing for the loss of Jack and just knowing, look, okay, I've got through this. Yes, Jack's a massive, it's a lot bigger than a swimming moment, but just having some of those knocks, how's it prepared you in different ways as well?
Yeah, I think having the swimming career that I had, and it was, you know, it wasn't always easy. I loved swimming as a young kid, and, you know, I got into it. It came really natural to me, and I worked through all of those, you know, the school swimming carnivals and the district, regional, state titles, and, you know, matured really early as a woman. And before I knew it, I was on my first Commonwealth Games team, still in year 11 at high school. But then it was a long time before I improved any of my personal bests and sort of reached a plateau. I missed two Olympic teams by a couple 100ths of a second. And I had a lot of people saying that, you know, I should give up and get a real job, and you're not going to make it, and just, you know, just get along with it. But I just kept listening to my inner voice just telling me, you know, you will be a champion, you will represent Australia, you will go to the Olympic Games. And I think just tapping into the young me who wanted to go to the Olympic Games, who wanted to stand on the podium and wear the green and gold and, you know, sing the national anthem, I just kept thinking about her. And I think we lose our way so many times, particularly as mums, when we're, you know, you're really in just the thick of, you know, raising the family, and you're doing the best that you can. And there's times that you just have to reflect on, like, well, you know, why did I start this, and why did I want this, you know, family? And so for me, it was like, why did I want this swimming career? And what do, you know, where's my why? And, you know, can I get back to that? And so once I got back to that and started doing it more for me, I just found that everything started falling into place. And yeah, my swimming career, it was full of obstacles and hurdles. I was told I was allergic to chlorine. I had 2 sinus operations, a nose reconstruction. I hurt my shoulder, my elbow, my knee, lots of injuries, lots of illnesses, lots of setbacks. But then it was the grit, the determination, the resilience, the never say die. I will do this for me. I'm not comparing myself to any other women out there or, you know, any other competitors. I want to get back to what my why, and my why is I want to be an Olympian. I want to stand on the podium, and I want this for me. So once I was able to get beyond all of the judgment on yourself, judgment of, you know, others, and just get back to me. And I think that it took me a while to get there. And I wish as a woman that I got there a lot earlier, but I finally achieved my Olympic dream at the age of 26. After making my first Commonwealth Games at the age of 16, at the age of 26, I made my first Olympic team. And it was just such a proud moment for me, for my family, for, you know, everyone who had supported me. But those lessons that I've learned in resilience and never giving up, being true to yourself, time management skills, the goal setting, and then just that consistently showing up every single day and getting knocked down, but getting back up again. And so that's what I've taken into life in business, life as a mom, life as a working mom. I'm married to a shift worker. He's a firefighter. And yeah, it's at times it's like everything that I learned from my swimming, I put all of that into life as a working mom. And I have people saying to me, how do you do all of this?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, guess what? When I was swimming, I was full-time at university. I was working two part-time jobs. I was swimming 11 times a week in the pool. I was doing 4 gym sessions, recovery sessions, all the massage, the physio. And, you know, I had no one else to take care of myself but me. And I go, but that was actually more difficult than taking care of the husband and his shift work and the 3 kids and running my own business and, you know, jet setting around the place and the kids doing 16 different sports between them. I'm like, This works. This is actually, I can breathe through this. And like, this is, yeah, I have more time now. And everyone's like, oh, you're a bit crazy. But I just, with me, I just never, ever use the word busy. And I tell any mum that I speak to, any parent that I speak to, just stop the word busy, because we continue to glorify that word so much. And we compare ourselves to everyone else, your life on social media. I have people say, oh, you're so busy, look what you're, and I'm like, I will not use that word, and I'm not going to give you an Olympic gold medal because you're busier than me. Like, we all have different things going on in our lives. Some of us have a lot more happening on certain days than others, but it's really, where are you going to put that energy? These are the 16 sports that my kids have chosen. This is the work that I've decided to take on, and that's where I'm putting my energy right now. And I will not ever say that I'm a busy mum, ever.
That's such a good way of reframing it, because, yeah, I heard, like, so many people will say, oh, how are you going? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm busy with life. But I guess it's you're so right. And I'm actually saying, well, it's where you choose to put your time and effort and your energy. And I love what you were just saying before about you're coming back to your why. I love the Simon Sinek, the whole golden circle piece and knowing your why. Like that for me, when I remember listening to that for the first time, it was like this massive light bulb moment. And I've never had that reaction with many things. I was like, this is amazing. And now so many people I say when they're all stressed and things like that, I say the same thing, come back to your why. What is it that you're doing for? Stops listening to everyone else. But the comparisonitis that goes around, particularly for new time mums, is just huge. Like how do you just ignore all that noise that's out there, that you know, social element of we're hustling, we're busy and we're juggling, and it's really not. It's deciding what really we want to do.
Yeah, what you want to do and how you want to lead your family, and you know, what sort of mum you want to be, what sort of parent do you want to be, and that, you know, the kids, even with us, we're like, they've chosen those sports and, you know, we allow them to choose all those sports. Our parents allowed us to choose that many sports and we're giving them the opportunity to try all of those sports. And our number one thing is you've signed up for the season, so you have to do the entire season. You're not going to let the team down or pull out after we've bought you the uniform. So for me, I always just say, again, you lead your family, lead yourself the way that you want to do it. And if people are going to say, oh, you know, your kids are doing too many sports, or you shouldn't do it like this, or you've got to cook this meal, or you've got to, you know, and it's just like, no, like I'm doing this for me. And that's probably the hardest thing, is even when you have your first kid, you're like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to do this? Or how's everyone else doing this? And oh, I should be doing it like this way. It's just like, no, like, again, come back, follow that gut feeling of yours and just be honest, be true to yourself. And I think once I was able to stop that comparison in my swimming career, the same as when I started having kids, of like, stop comparing what everyone else is doing and get back to the mum that I want to be. I think that's when I started really enjoying being a parent and enjoying being able to, I guess, look at my own family unit and really take ownership of that, rather than going, oh, you know, oh, what about that family? I don't want to do it like that. And I was just like, no, like we're unique. Every single family is unique. And I think, and that's important as well.
Yeah, so true. So did that take a bit to get there? Because I know it takes a bit of confidence to say no, and to also block out what other people are saying. And if people are saying you should be doing this, I often say should be is a swear word for mums. And so that, like, just ignoring all that, because it takes a bit, because it takes a certain level of inner confidence to say, I'm not worrying about what the Joneses over the fence are doing. I'm just going to do and back myself for what we're doing, because it takes a bit of guts. And some people will go, oh, they're doing it, I'm just going to follow the pack. But really, you need to trust yourself, don't you?
Yeah, totally trust yourself. And, you know, we tell our own kids to not follow, you know, not be a sheep, not follow what everyone else is doing, especially of like now that I'm raising a teenager as well. I was just like, you know, have that confidence to put your shoulders back and to follow your family values and to be honest with yourself and have those open conversations with us. And so for me, it's, of course, we've got close, you know, family, friends, or, you know, close, like even couples that I look up to in our own, you know, whether it's our own family, our own parents, and great role models. But I, you know, I like to look at those relationships from the outside, and, you know, everyone might have problems as well, but it's just like, oh, I like the way that they've involved, you know, their whole entire family like that. And I'd like to do that as well. So I feel like I still take little bits from, you know, from people that I'm inspired by, or from your own upbringing. But I really think it's about, taking a step back and then, just putting that ownership on you of just like, do you know what? We don't have, especially as parents, we don't have them with us, living with us for that long. And I know that we're in that generation now, is just like, oh, we may be, you know, living with our, you know, kids until they're in their 30s, and, you know, with partners as well. But the way I look at it is, I left home at 18 to follow my Olympic dream. So I just keep saying to Jared, like, our oldest is Cooper, he's 14. I'm just like, come on, like, we've got four more years. If he does leave at 18 to follow his dream, I said, that's four more years where we can, you know, continue to instill the family values, the beliefs, that we, you know, lead the family in our way, that we make, these memories by going away, you know, during the holidays, you know, like putting together a fire and going on surfing trips up and down the, you know, the East Coast, and making those family memories where if he leaves at 18, he wants to come back at Christmas time because he knows that we're going to our favorite camping spot where we're going to surf all day and go fishing and eat fish and, you know, have a fire, and that he'll be like, oh, hang on, I'm going to maybe bring my girlfriend back and we're going to go camping with mum and dad, or we don't want to miss out on that, you know, on that, or just those traditions that we have. So I think with us, we've looked at it that way of just going, okay, as parents, eventually our role, we see it as our role is to make our job redundant. So the lessons that we're teaching the kids now about, you know, here, washing the darks and washing the whites, and, you know, don't leave your dishes in the sink, put them in the dishwasher. And they're like, what's all this for? And I was like, well, you're the one saying that you want to move to Europe and play soccer, or you're going to move with your mates and go, you know, set up your own surf school. And we're like, who's going to do the dishes? Who's going to do the washing? Like, we're trying to teach you all of these things and get you to a point where if you do move out of home at 18, like I did, you are ready and you've got all of those tools beyond just the housework. You've got, you know, you're leading with kindness, with empathy, and, you know, you're really understanding the world from what we've been able to teach you. And it's tough, but I still find it fun, whether the lessons are going in all the time. It's hard to say, but I'm just like, I enjoy that. I think it's, yeah, and I think it's just really important.
Yeah, I was reading something yesterday. Someone said, I'm not actually raising my children to be their friend. I'm wanting to raise a global citizen. And I was like, it's actually a really good way of thinking about it, of actually setting them up for success in their life, not actually just going, oh, I'm just going to be the, you know, the fun mom or something like that. Now it's actually that global citizen. I'm like, I really like this mentality of, you know, what you're wanting to prepare them in for the world, as what you're saying. So yeah, our role as parents, and it's such a challenging environment these days that, yeah, with lots of things, and not only on parents, but also on kids with social media and everything else that comes along. And there'll be things in the future that we then have to probably look, you know, navigate as well. It's certainly a journey, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a journey, but it's just still so much fun. And I just, you know, I have mums and dads come to me all the time, some of them single parents, and I'm constantly just giving them advice of, you know, if knowledge is power, but we need, it's what you do with that knowledge. And if there is a seminar online with the school, or in at the school, on whether it's social media or, you know, or bullying, or, you know, just like parent empowerment, I was like, sign up, just, you know, go to it, and don't see it as like, oh, I've got to, you know, sit through something else. I was just like, all of us through another, you know, whole new journey of raising kids of all different ages. And as you mentioned, with, you know, social media and other things that we all need to understand, is like, don't put a blind eye to it. Like, actually understand what your kids are going through and have those open conversations. And we always say, for us, it's, you know, that our kitchen bench, we can talk about anything. We can sit down and discuss anything from, you know, from wars to periods to condoms to first girlfriends to first boyfriend, like whatever it is, we can sit down. And we are in a house where we still have obviously young kids as well. But to our older teenager, we're like, if you want to have that conversation with us, let's sit down. Let's have a cup of tea, a hot chocolate, whatever, milkshake, and let's just sit down and discuss that. And I think my parents brought me up in a household that was like that. And I think that's really important for me, to let my kids know that you want to come to me about anything. Or if it's still something that you're not comfortable, we've just put a great network of friends around us, where there was a few conversations you want to have with mum and dad as, you know, a 17-year-old, but I was happy to have it with their best friends. And I'm sure their best friends went back and, you know, told mum and dad, but I'm still like that with our kids, of just like, let's surround them with, you know, this great network of friends and family, because as we always said, it takes the village, right? So I think it's important to make sure that our village continues to be so strong around them.
Yeah, no, it's so important. That's, we all need those villages, and we've been led to believe we need to be able to do it ourselves as mums. And you say, no, you can do it all. But I reckon the stronger your village, the better off you're going to be. And just going back to Jack a bit, what was the village like for you when he was in hospital, and how did that help you in that period of your life?
Yeah, it was incredible, really. You sort of, once I, you know, sit back and you just reflect on what people did, or how, I guess, the random acts of kindness that people would do that, and then you're like, have I really thanked them for that? Because you'd get home from the hospital and there'd be one of my mums from the mother's group that would have just left a meal on the, you know, on the front porch, and you'd been at hospital all day. And yep. And I had Cooper, who I was obviously taking care of as well. It's, you know, he was only 2.5, but there'd be like a, you know, special little meal for Cooper. And then there'd be like more, an adult's meal, like a nice, you know, curry or, you know, something that's, yeah, that was, I guess, that food for me, that comfort food that I was really after. So there was just, you know, there was, of course, there was just that network of just, do you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm not expecting Brooke to, you know, message me or call me. Or so it was all of these random kindness that would happen every day from my whole network of swimming, work friends, mother's group, the firefighters, just everyone was just so supportive. And then our family as well, that would just have to, you know, just support us with, can you pick up Cooper from childcare, or we're spending more time at the hospital, or yeah, whatever it took. That was amazing, just so we could delegate and people would just, you know, just go, yeah, whatever you need. And then it was just the messaging and the, I guess, the love and support from our swimming community, like the swimming clubs, and then the Olympic community as a whole as well, just to feel like we weren't alone. And yeah, you didn't get back to those messages, but they were just messages of that, you know, our thoughts are with you, we're sending positive vibes of, you know, that, you know, we love you. If you need anything, you know, we're here. And so we always just felt supported, even though you didn't want to talk, you know, you didn't want to talk to anyone, or you didn't have the energy, or what, you know, whatever we were going through, we didn't have to explain that to, you know, to anyone else. And then if I did need to do it, what would you call it? Like a group message, wanting to keep everyone up to date, I would then, you know, take some time, have a cup of tea away from the hospital, take some time to write that message. And then I'd send that to my, you know, to dad, and he would be like, okay, I'm sending that to, you know, the entire family. And then we'd send it to, you know, Jared's dad, send that to the family, and then like a friend's chat as well. So then it just meant that everyone was in the loop.
Yeah.
But then if we weren't up for that either, it was just like, you know, they're not checking in, but that's okay. So we felt, yeah, I just felt so, you know, so supported. And then you'd continue to feel so supported, and we continue to celebrate those milestones when Jack was born and when Jack passed away, and we share that through our socials, and we continue to inspire other mums and dads to speak up after loss. And that's been really powerful for us as well, for Jared to talk to the dads, because obviously men and women deal with grief a lot differently. And we've found that's been, yeah, it's been great for us just to go, hey, this is wonderful that we can still share Jack's story, Jack's journey, and then also give families the confidence of going and trying again. And that was the biggest thing for me, was would I ever have the confidence to back myself to go again, potentially looking at having another premature baby and going down that path. So it took us a while to get there as well. But yeah, supporting parents to have another go is also, yeah, I find that it's just another important tool to have.
How did you get through that mindset barrier? Because it is quite a big of like, oh my goodness. And then you'll go through each of the scans and how's it all going? Like it's one of those things. And obviously you went twice again after it, which is amazing. And some people won't go again. What do you think was different for yourself in that journey?
Yeah, I think, again, it just got back to that positive mindset that I always had with my swimming. Like, I had so many setbacks and, so many missed attempts and didn't improve my times. And I just kept, there was just failure after failure after, failure. But after every failure, I'd just take one positive. And then when I was looking at putting myself, back out there to fall pregnant naturally and, try again, it's a hard way to put it, but there's so many other women that are going through a lot, harder times. And I've had someone say to me, that's not a very good, it's not a very good way to look at it, to say, oh, there's someone always worse off. But for me, there always is. And it was the way that I dealt with it at the time to go, do you know what? There's people worse off right now. There's women that, can't have babies, that women that continuing to have, failed IVF and, naturally I've been able to, fall pregnant twice and I had a great outcome with Cooper, delivered him at 41 weeks and naturally. And then with Jack, it was just a totally unknown of, why was he premature, born at 28 weeks, only 600 grams, but I never had an answer for that. So I had to find, I had to find some peace with not being able to have an answer and then take the positive that I'd already had a baby naturally and a firm baby. And so that was the positive. And then once I was sort of over sort of any anxiety of, let's just go again and have support from my husband to say, do you know what, we're ready, whatever journey we are on, like whether we go the full time or the preemie baby, or we might lose a baby, we're ready and we're strong enough to do this together. So it took a lot of soul searching beyond losing Jack. But I think, once we got there, we sort of just looked at each other and went, right, we'll do this and we'll do this together. So it was, it was nerve wracking. Like you said, every single scan and, all of the extra tablets and vitamins and all the different bits and pieces. But I think the one thing that helped was I had the same obstetrician the whole way through.
Oh, it makes such a difference.
And that was like a head coach. I was just like, right, what do we need to do? And I'll do everything I possibly can. And And so that was a huge difference for me, for both Billy and then eventually, Matilda. And Billy, Jared just rubbed my belly every single day for, the whole pregnancy of just like, stay in there, don't come early. So poor Billy, he stayed in there, and then they end up saying to me at like 42 weeks, they're like, this baby's going to be overcooked. We're going to have to take him out. And so Jack, of course, when we lost him, he was 9 months old, but he was born via emergency caesar at 28 weeks because the blood flow in the placenta had reversed. So unfortunately, he was killing me, I was killing him. So at 28 weeks, he came out, and that was tough to then leave your baby in the hospital.
Oh, that first leaving of the baby, I left my first, that both my husband and I just broke down when we had to leave our son in the NICU, and it's the worst moment. Oh,
you can't describe it, right? You're just like, what? And what do you mean?
I'm supposed to be going home with a baby, not, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's such an emotional roller coaster. But then with Billy, they were like, you've overcooked him. I was just like, we've gone from this preemie baby and now he's overcooked. So he was born via caesar at 42 weeks. And then of course, then we put ourselves back into the mix after Billy and then went, okay, we always wanted four. And I'm one of four, I'm the eldest of four, and Jared's the third born of four, and we always wanted four. And then to have Matilda after three boys, I remember looking at the obstetrician and trying to deliver her naturally. And then I was like, is she coming? What's happening? And, she's in a bit of distress, so you're going to have to really, push hard and get her out. And all I could think about was I didn't want to go in for another caesar, and I had an opportunity to deliver her naturally. So just listen to the head coach and have this baby. So to have her was just so beautiful. And I just knew as soon as I'd had her that my family was complete and that we'd had our four. our three with us, and little Jack that looks over us. And yeah, and I remember looking at my husband going, you made a baby girl. He's like, we did this together. I was like, this was you. This is amazing. So
the dads determined the gender. So yeah.
So yeah, that was so special, because I thought the whole time, I was like, oh, after three boys, you just have another boy. So
yeah,
I didn't check what I was having. So yeah, so that was just wonderful. But now it's just completely different. I'm out of that, you know, the baby stage, and now I'm raising a teenager and kids that are sort of the older levels of primary school, and it's a completely different mix. So even I've gone to year nine parent teacher interviews, and I've texted my sister who's going to prep interviews with her gorgeous boy who she was so blessed to have through IVF, and I said, oh, I'd go back to the prep interviews for anything. I'm like, year nine interviews, oh goodness. And so yeah, she's just laughed. But I'm like, I just love having those conversations with all mums of like, oh, you know, what level are you at? Or, and then, you know, I'm at the grunt stage, and I was like, okay, so what do I have to do to get, you know, to support him through the grunt stage? And I think it's great, like, just continuing to talk to other mums.
Oh, it makes such a difference. It's just all the different stages you have. I'm just like, I've got a preppy this year, and my goodness, oh, it's just different to childcare. I'm like, the leveling up, it's like that growth mindset. You get really uncomfortable, you know, that you're leveling up as a parent, and then you okay plateau, and you're like, oh no, we've been hit with something else. And oh, I wasn't prepared for the life of a prep mum, so I'm definitely not there yet for year nine.
And then when you're in year nine, you'll be like, oh, that prep interview, they were just talking about, you know, the readers and the finger painting and like,
the phonics and the reading and the not enough space between numbers and mathematics and things like that. So.
Oh, fun. I do love it. I'm like, my mum always just said, and like every mum does, it goes so quickly. So you have to totally, totally embrace like every single stage. And yeah, so I just look back and go, oh my gosh, like those, you know, that baby stage just went so fast, and then I was just like, oh, then the primary school stage went fast, and now when you're raising your eldest is teenager, and then there's talk about, you know, he's got a job and then girlfriends and, you know, all the rest of it's just like, oh, this is all going so quickly. So
like, I've blinked and where's it all gone?
Yeah. So, but everyone will say that, right? Everyone says it goes so fast. So I think that's even more reason to live in the moment through the good days, the bad days, and yeah, everything that comes with it. The letters home about there's head lice again, or, you know, or yeah, someone's got, I don't know, it's like there's an illness in the classroom, or there's this or there's that. There's something every day. And yeah, every day I just feel like I can overcome this. We'll be right. We'll get through.
Yeah. So what would you tell your younger self before you, like, advice of becoming a mum and being a working mum with so many different balls in the air? I'm not going to say busy.
Exactly. Not using that word, but yeah, I would just, again, just tell myself just to go with the flow. And, you know, that flow sometimes is a lot quicker than just the zen of just chilling out, but like, you've just got to go with it. And there's times that you can't change that, you know, that decision or that moment, and you've just got to embrace it and lead with that positivity every single day. And but then also, you know, like I talk about being accountable, and I want my kids to be accountable, whether it's for, you know, their school hat all the way down to remembering their footy boots. But for me, it's important just to show them that we are just all human as well. So with me, it would be just, you know, just go with the flow, but it's okay to show that vulnerability. Yes, you are a strong, positive, happy mum that lives every single day like it's her last, but you're going to go through, you know, more hard times, you know, loss of friends, loss of family, days in business where, yeah, you lose a contract, you win a contract, and the kids are going to go through that as well. So we've always said that it's important for us to show that we're not all, you know, super parents, and that we do have tough days, and that's that important, that really important space that we look at of whatever fits in with your family, whether it's the one night a week for candle night or every night where we can sit down and have dinner together. At least one parent would be home to have dinner to say, hey, it's, you know, what's the highlight of the day? What are you grateful for? Where can we help each other? And there's times I was just like, oh, well, you know, how can you help me? I'm, you know, this is what I'm struggling with at the moment. And I think that's important as well to go, oh, you know, mum's just said that, you know, she's struggling, or she needs more rest, or yeah, she wants to find more time to, you know, to exercise, or she wants her hour of, you know, power to read a book, and to, yeah, mum's having some quiet time. And so I think that's, you know, that's really important just to have those open conversations with, yeah, with the kids. So they also recognize that we also have to all of us, parents included, have to find that time where we can have our own time out, our own space, and our own time where we can, I guess, reset our own souls.
Yeah, it's so important. And mindset is such a big thing as well. And just quickly, you are a Starlight Children's Foundation ambassador. How has the Starlight Foundation helped you and your family?
Obviously just so much. Starlight was, you know, there the whole time that we had Jack in the hospital. So after him being born premature, the whole 9 months, we were in the Starlight Express room at hospital, volunteers there making us a cup of tea and, you know, giving us a biscuit on those days where we were really struggling. Those rooms are just fantastic because they have like the recliners where if you just want to have that 5 minutes away from the NICU, you can. And that was all the way through to Captain Starlight that would come and entertain Cooper when we were in the NICU. And even after Jack passed away, we found out that Captain Starlight wanted to make a special, special visit to Cooper. And he's come in and made lots of jokes, put a smile on his face when, you know, we were obviously crying and down in the dumps, and supplied all of these presents that had been donated from people. So that was wonderful. And then for Billy, since he was born, he hasn't been able to do a number two on his own. So he's had a special plug from the age of four, called a cheek cassectomy plug. So just a special plug, like a stoma, that goes on the outside of his appendix and fill it with the medication and allow him to go to the toilet. And so he has to go into hospital and have that change and have checkups with his doctor and his nurses. And as soon as we walk into the children's hospital in the Queensland Children's Hospital in Brisbane, like Captain Starlight's right there straight away. He's like, welcome to the hospital, and what are you here for today? And welcome, you know, Captain, or welcome President. And Billy each time's like, usually a different superhero, because that's his way of dealing with it. So he's just like, I'm not the president of the hospital. I'm Captain America, or I'm Thor, or I'm, you know, Spider-Man. And so for me as a parent and going into hospital, it's like, you know, it's like it's already, you know, scary enough for parents when you're taking your kid in there, because you want to be positive and, you know, don't want to show that emotion. It's already quite, you know, daunting. And so for the captains to put a smile on the kids' faces and the parents as well, I'm like, I've absolutely loved that. So Billy, fortunate to find out now, similar to me, we found out in 2024 that we're both celiacs. So dealing with autoimmune disease, finding out that we've got celiac disease, is just like, this is a game changer for us, because we're actually now finding that by being gluten-free, Billy's actually starting to reset his whole
gut. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's starting to go to the toilet on his own. And so we're like, this could be we don't believe in miracles, but it could be our own little game changer for Billy, of there's potentially he could get rid of, you know, his stoma or his plug. And so he's like, wait till I tell Captain Starlight that I might not need this anymore. So it's his superhero plug, he calls it. But I'm like, again, that's a family that's not full-time in hospital, but we're up there enough and we're seeing the doctors and the nurses. And I'm just like, it's just so wonderful that Starlight can, you know, provide the smiles for for families and children that are sick in hospital. So I love it. I love being an ambassador. And 21st of May every single year is Starlight Day, where everyone can, of course, support Starlight Children's Foundation and really make sure that those captains are continuing to put the smiles on the sick kids that are in hospital and that are really dealing with some terrible diseases and infections and injuries and unfortunately still a lot of cancers, and for some of them they get their wishes, and for others they just need that daily boost. And I think it's just incredible what they do. So for us, and for me as an ambassador, for Jared as well, we just get involved. We get involved every single year. And the big one for the kids and all of, and myself, is that we do the Starlight Super Swim. So that's every single January, February, we're just swimming as many laps as we can, and we're in the ocean and we're in the pool and the dam and the creek, and we're just constantly swimming as many laps for Starlight. So many ways that, obviously everyone can get on board and support Starlight Children's Foundation. But for me, I think it's important for me because I'm still living through it with Billy. And I really felt that connection through Jack, and I just know that it's definitely helping families around the beautiful country of ours to just get through the most difficult time of their lives a little bit easier.
That support when you're going through the worst moments of your life, and just obviously for you as well, that had children that needed some support as well, and there are services around that you don't even realize that are focused in on parents that are going through some really crappy, awful times. But it's nice to know that there's this virtual, like this village that's willing to give you a big hug, and that you know that they're there to support you and, not only help you, but also your children. And it continues on after as well. That makes such a big difference, and it can help you, like when you're having a really, as I said, really crappy day, but just even that little 1%, it can just help you. And it's like swimming. It's those one, those hundred thousands, the 0.00, six and things like that. It's those little things as well when you're in those moments that can make such a huge difference and help you make the,
So right. Yeah. You're so right. It's a great way to put it, actually. Yeah. To think that, I missed my first Olympic team by a couple 100ths of a second. And then to see that those couple 100ths of a second now can be put into that cup of tea that during a really difficult time where you've just been told some news, or you've gone backwards, or you your child's not doing well. It's just that pat on the shoulder and that, that cup of tea and that first sip that can just go, do you know what? I'm doing okay. I can get through this, and I've got the strength, but I feel supported. I've just that hand on my shoulder. So it's for me, it's so important for us all just to constantly give back. And I tell the kids my kids all the time. They're like, what are you up to? Or, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going up to the children's hospital, and I'm going to continue to volunteer and to make sure that I can put a smile on, whether it's a parent's face or to just be there and support those kids that are sick. I think it's important for all of us to give back, whether it's financially, whether it's donating a gift or even volunteering your time. I think whatever you can do as an individual for a charity like Starlight, I think you just get so much. It definitely fills my cup.
Yeah, that's amazing. So just on that, you obviously give a lot for a lot of people, for your kids as well. What do you do to fill your cup? Obviously the Starlight Children's Foundation, but anything else as well?
Yeah, for me, I still have to prioritize that health and wellbeing space. So obviously being an elite athlete and competing for my country it's indescribable, really, to be announced as an Australian champion, an Olympic champion, world championships, all of that. But for the lessons that I learned as an athlete, I just put that into my role as a mum. And when people say, how do you continue on with this energy, and you're always so positive, but you just go all the time? And I was like, well, you don't see me filling my own cup, and my own cup is a mixture of things, of course, but it is definitely is definitely around that well-being and exercise. So making sure that I am moving every day in some capacity, and that is still swimming, it's surfing, it's lifting weights, it's a variety of things. So it's always been different for me. So I just believe that diversity is that key to enjoying exercise. So moving every day, and then just my time. So that my time can vary for me greatly, but the my time is a bath or a book, or for me, I love to wake up before the sunrise, before the whole house wakes up, and just have that cup of tea and sit there and watch the sunrise and be grateful for the day, to be grateful for the family, for, you know, for my work and for everything. But for some, yeah, sometimes I might be behind and I might sit there and watch the sunrise and go, okay, I've got to do, you know, an hour on the laptop, or I've got to do an hour of sorting out clothes or socks. Or I find that sometimes that even fills me up, because I was like, oh, I feel like that's a little bit more, organized now. And, you know, that the house will work a little bit smoother because everyone will know where their stuff is. And then there's other times where the cup is just talking to a best friend. And I find that that's so important, just to check in with, don't need to have hundreds or thousands of friends, but just to check in with your number ones or number twos, threes, like, yeah, your top five, whatever that is. So just checking in with your girlfriends, and then just knowing that we're all going through stuff, but sometimes, yeah, they might not want to talk about it, but they love hearing of what's happening in your life. So I feel that really fills my cup. So yeah, really important for me is to, yeah, obviously to move, to find that magic moment where it's just complete peace, and then also just the cup refill from girlfriends.
No, it makes such a difference. Thank you so much for this chat, Brooke. I feel like we could keep talking on a whole range of different topics, but unfortunately I know everyone has got other things to do. But how can people get in touch with you and also donate to the Starlight Children's Foundation?
Yeah, so you can definitely follow me on my socials, Brooke Hansen, OLYOAM on Insta, and I'm on LinkedIn as well, and Facebook, and on my website if you want to follow me with anything that I'm doing. So brookehansen.com, and then Starlight, there is so many different ways that you definitely can get involved. But I think the easier thing for all of us who, yeah, have a lot on is whatever your channel is, whether you love to look up a website, or you go to Google and, yeah, Google Starlight, or if you want to follow the amazing things they're doing through Instagram, jump on and follow their channels and find out the incredible ambassadors like myself that are, yeah, volunteering and just making a difference every day to sick kids. So thanks so much in advance for anyone who wants to support Starlight and get involved. And it's been so good chatting today.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you all the best in your future endeavors, and yeah, best of luck, and also everyone donate to Starlight Children's Foundation. So again, thank you so much, Brooke. This has been it's filled my cup today of such a great chat.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is MUMMA, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you, and see you next time. Have a great week.